This is Matt Clegg, Chris Jones, Emma Bolland, their publisher, Brian Lewis, Long Barrow Press. Now, you get a flavour of Long Barrow Press when you look at their website, and it says poetry from the edge lands. So you're dealing with the edge. And these folk are from Sheffield or Mexborough, which is similar. And as you know, and Sheffield, as you know, is in a kind of bowl. It's haunted by its hills. Is that right? And what you're going to hear tonight is atmospheric, because you're going to hear a performance in two parts. There's part one, part two. In between, there'll be a slight changeover. There'll be 5 minutes. Don't go away. And Emma is going to haunt us with a sort of nuanced atmosphere. Is that right?
That's what I've been told.
Nuanced atmosphere. In part one, Matt is going to read poems from his sequence, Chinese Lanterns, in one of his published collections, and afterwards you can buy their books. They will sign them elaborately for you. Violinist Emma will provide what are called her spare musical phrases to nuance the ceremonial aspect. So we'll understand that when we come to it, but it sounds mystical and magical. And Emma and Chris will also read with Matt as part of this fugue of voices from North Sheffield and the Far East. After this changeover, Chris Jones will present his sequence of jigs and reels, harnessing the energy of folk tunes, played by Emma, to contemplate themes of family, ceremony, and music itself. This performance, which Chris's readings alternate with tunes played by Emma, develops themes introduced in the first act, so you will find a musical continuity presented by Emma, in which she develops further in the second part the suggestions and nuances in the first part. So you have... In half a moment, Brian is going to step up to indicate more details of the structure. Is that right? So you have Matthew, you have Chris, you have Emma, and you have Brian. You have a formidable set of remarkable people from Sheffield. So let's hear it for Sheffield.
Spirits of the wind, bones of the rose, go with these exiles. Pilgrims of the way, observers of the rites, tonight, we have wine, we have tea, we have blab and stumm. Rest your legs, gag your gadgets, listen and dream.
What is the use of talking? And there is no end to talking. There is no end to things in the heart. Lao Tzu says, If you don't want people rioting, don't honour their bankers above them. To keep them from breaking shop windows, place less value on things. If you want them steady and at peace, market doobries within their budget. When governing people relieve their minds and fill their bellies, the true man of vision shields the people from steamrolling news and frees them from wish lists. He constructs a city where managers will sit on their hands. Order will prevail most, following the plan of least action. The fact is, I talk too much when drunk, even more when others hold their counsel. I point out the flaws of eminent poets, I praise the virtues of those overlooked. I ought to wake hungover, abashed, but I'm given a world hand-painted by a child, lavish with glitter. I sit out and sip tea. Ants scour the fallen helmets of snails. Spiders shrink into the crevices of clothes pegs hung like sleeping bats. I am their poet, just theirs.
A letter from Tu Fu. While you sleep off the drink, high jumbos score a lattice across blue, creases to fold origami heaven. I venture out alone, only intending a lap of the park, but am signalled and fired by the tennis of light volleyed off the mirrors of turning cars. At Wadsley Bridge, I clamber to the edge that measures the city, where I stand level with the power lines and feel the skin tighten around my skull. Below me, 90 feet, the mangled char of a convertible has been tumbled off the edge and rests prone on the railway tracks, while time pricks like a beak inside an egg. I count three butterflies, a hovering kestrel, and the thee-oo, thee-oo of some spry, flitting bird. I would roll up this day with a sprinkling of coarse black tobacco for you to smoke out the moths in your head. Confucius says, this is why I lose sleep. When I fail to cultivate virtue, or won't deepen what it is I've learned. When I'm informed what's right, and I squirm from moving to that point. My own faults have been raised many times, and I've been unable to reform. How I can slide downhill. I'll set my feet firmly on the way. Virtue is my target and my only bonus. My work will lunch on benevolence. I'll take my holidays in the arts. I won't turn away any student who's offered as little as the price of a meal for his fees. But I can't open any windows to a soul who hasn't ground their tiny brain in a salt mill, trying to understand, or not spat out their teeth, making words chase their thought. Point out the first corner of a square. If they can't locate the other three, don't hammer it home a second time.
Moving with thought. On April mornings, after soft rain, the soil will open its cask of scent. The cherry blossom is lit by noon, and bees rev engines inside the trees. Is that old soul manning the checkout, Issa? I know those sagging shoulders and blackened thumbs. They have known better than packing bags for smirking students. I know that laugh and sudden banter. It cracks his mask when wrapping whiskey for an old friend. If we're sacked again, we're only sacked. The cherry blossoms.
The willow stoops in April sunlight, as you did sweet, into our mirror. You'd click the switch, then comb the iron through falling hair, loose as the willows. Punter leans outside the bookies. He flicks a fag towards the pavement, where mums wield prams or double buggies, and schoolboys yield into the gutter. He sighs and waits as if for something he cannot find the proper noun for. He cricks his jaw and tongues the craters where nagging teeth no longer yellow.
I did not know how trees shed even in summer. Now the tallest aspen, noon's treasurer, is relinquishing one, two, three leaves. I feel their passing. By Regent Court, boys call him spastic. They ape his legs that almost buckle under his weight with every stagger. The day is hot. He could be dangling those ailing limbs in the cool Rivlin's iron-rich chill, not grafting friendless under heaving streets. Men's fates are cruel. I buy white wine. I too will stagger.
With this World Cup, streets
are as empty as bars are full. Long before twilight, a faint half moon under frail cirrus, swallows and I make this our city.
When I'm sober, mostly I feel lost, out of context, a pastiche of me by a lesser poet. I'm too old to be saying what he makes me say. It's not China. To make things worse, it's not even the right part of town. I must travel to the London Road for rice noodles and sweet oolong tea.
How many years are left for walking from Bradfield drunk? How many summers from hedge to hedge? Bees tickle foxgloves, swallows flash white, breasting the sun traps. Piled in a skip outside the factory, corkscrews of steel shavings catch sunlight. The steady glare is river silver lifted from time and flow. It hardens. In Beely Wood, pan lids of dazzle fall on the earth, breaching leaf shadow. Not one of them is a perfect circle. They make the path fidget like water.
I dreamed my skull became self-storage and felt a door slam shut forever on shoes and clothes
and vinyl albums
and every hair
of mine with the colour.
Fill a pint glass with malt whiskey. It looks and tastes like standing urine. But pour shot into a tumbler and you kiss gold and taste a poem. Paint a wall red or a whole complex, it won't catch light or hold its promise like the thin stalk of a June poppy shaking a cup at queuing traffic.
A small child's voice close at my window. Look at that bird. What is it doing? I cannot see, but long to answer. The voice is high, clear as a swallow's. Up from the foot of a cracked drainpipe, a surge of spray is hosing skywards, tall as a man leaving the sports bar who belts his song at cloth-eared heaven. After the storm, the concrete pathways through Hillsborough Park gleam like channels easing their way through wide estuaries of silt and sand, ferrying moonlight.
From the back seat
of a stretched limo, a woman's hand appears to beckon. She wears no ring, no friendship bracelet, but harps the air with languid fingers.
I run to watch a paraglider, losing his hold on sliding thermals. He comes to hang in the wide branches of a tall oak until he wriggles free of his traps. Now he wrestles in tug of war with a sky dragon.
And leaves rain down like birds or fishes, coming to hands he cannot open.
A trance walk with Muzo Suzuki. Satori asks, if thought, like spilt mercury, always takes the path of least resistance, what then? Is it ever enlightened?
At the riverside, the city is a galleon being hauled out to sea by the temporal kraken. Pause, while you still can.
Sirs, please don't brick up the useless hole in the wall, or knock down the frame. Let it stand as a jetty, to land or leap into dream.
Something was made here once. Algae slimes down brickwork, deep into grouting. Breathe the stain of oil and spore. Standing water gathers dust.
Wells and Richardson, accountants. Breeze block Titan, likely to endure the downturn. Blue or grey sky to capital conversion.
Pity, brother Crow, jilted by the sky. Now stiff as a burnt journal for the jealous wind to browse the secrets he kept from her.
Neep's End, gas holders, high-pressure main, curves and flumes. Imagine the breath of a million Tibetan throat singers searching for pitch.
Parkwood finches flit through chinks in chain-link fences and methane pockets. Their busy lungs are stitching a filigree of treble.
This leaf corridor, slanting across the hill slope, filters North Sheffield from view. Sound waves of thermals lifting it into the trees.
Badger poltergeists wake, tunnel up through brick chaff and rubles of glass. They sniff the growling cart track and borrow razor wire for fangs.
The sun-facing leaves are glowing as if from veins circulating light. Those in shade witness, not feel, the rapture of conversion.
Often, on trance walks, I can't quite retrace my twists and turns going back. My thread could be left or right. Everywhere could be the way.
Aphorisms make me bite my tongue. I'm bored with Confucius and Lao Tzu. I'm tired of white rice and jasmine tea. I'll get blind drunk and walk out into the dusk city. I want streets narrow between terraces and paths pink with blossom smears. No more sober thoughts. I want to be a Chinese lantern and carry light through licorice clouds steaming above the Bassett factory. I want to be a man with tattoos, green and dense as new sprung leaves. A shivering aspen under moons round as open wells. Letter to Rumi. You came unannounced, and if you recall, brought me goat's cheese and a deep red merlot, neither too fine nor cheap. You sat contented on my one spare chair, some green plastic crab I pulled from a skip. And I opened the blinds for the moon and starlight to make my Spartan room furbished enough to pass for our tavern. That was when you told me about Sobet, and how you believed that one friend must be still for the other to make the spirit journey to find it. I told you in return, my landlocked exile here was just an old man's way of travelling. I remember your words. Let wine be the current of the Yangtze gorges and love be the meeting of all gorges. We spoke in this vein long after midnight, and then you announced you had to move on. Not for me to question. But when a friend is honest and giving, I always walk within part of the way, give breath to his stories as I stumble home drunk under the stars. That night, I slept in a climbing hammock under a sycamore. The sky a reservoir of darkest blue. I slept with my cash about my person and did not care who might lift it from me. When I woke, the dewfall had left 5 billion small deposits on the grass blades and my whiskers alike. I don't know where you are, but I sing these thoughts to the moon tonight and request that she forward them to you.
Have a 5 minute break and then Chris will take Chris and Emma will present that to you.
I wanted to write a sequence of poems that echoed folk standards. or more particularly, capture the musical trick you hear when two folk songs are combined together to create a set of tunes. This was partly, possibly mostly, a reaction to hearing Jo, my partner, playing folk songs on her oboe for many evenings over the years. This lyrical space, this thematic device of linking subjects and folk songs, allowed me to consider my children's experiences, gave me space to think about my children's experiences over the first 5 or 6 years of their lives. I also broadened my approach here to consider other folk and possibly, certainly, poetic concerns. Birds, war, death. In the final piece, in the final poem in this sequence, I'm writing about Robert, my third son, who was born in 2010. Jigs and reels. So I'll give the title of both tunes, both poems, and there'll be a short beat in between both of them. Okay. Thistledown, cotton grass. The sonographer makes a sweep for kicks, though you're convinced that dark unravels light. You feel the beat has ghosted from this 3-month heart. I grip your hand and think of skin more delicate than thistledown. What floats and snags and drifts downwind, moons luminous with ultrasound. Beyond the city, cambers east, as though its spires and tipped-up parks, its messy diagram of streets, all slip toward vanishing points. The sonographer folds the snaps, bins paper towels, then pitch between practiced solicitude and tact, asks, do we want to see the stream? We stray wide over Beeley Moor to mark my way of 40 years, knee high amongst the heather's cure and cotton grass's tousled flares. For two small dawdling boys you draw these flits of bubbles on the breeze that pink and kiss a dry stone wall and take the grip of platform trees. Or lift clear like a diver's breath so hikers watching on the rise would see four solitary specks stare at unassuming sky and not suppose what holds them there is light that quivers out of view, nor intimate the vista shared is all the untold names for blue. A journey home, the last day of the year. For William, hefted by a car, then stretched like breath along the curb, my wound-up boy ran out so far he missed the driver's throttled swerve. He doubled up and dropped his words because the hurt, this black surprise, had shot the orbit of his world. A meteorite smacking ice. In A and E I touched his face as though to draw his bruised blue cheek back to bone. My thumbs dabbed lips. Sure, my touch would tease out speech. Yet Billy, barreling, robust, a weak arm tugged free from my arm, to rush a noisy road on trust, wanting words for care or harm, to last till midnight, sleep an hour, and lose this fog-bound afternoon, to draw in, braid the breath you share, and slow a dusk-encumbered room. Your kids doze close with coupled fists, as though they cradle loops of rope that tether backs to knees to hips, like four-bound sailors in a boat. press here, heel kicks against your palm, flash life like starlight marking time. You feel a universe of harm imperceptibly realign. Tonight's New Year, the weatherman forecasts a bone cold 10 below. But now you cling to heat and skin to banish auguries of snow.
A Kerry slide, Cock of the North.
You've been stitched and dressed and wheeled down to the ward, I kiss goodbye, a spaceman angling for the moon. Adrift this hour, I blink in light on corridors by curtained rooms with thoughts the arc, the rim of light. These doors are shut, sleepover cars glow orange under coals of frost. An inch away from cool night air, I'm high, dog tired, near home and lost. And now to track up bleach white steps, past stirs and whispers on the wing, where you tend to hothouse breaths, I'll never touch this star again. Always time to kiss the baby, cradle chest high, laying down. Off to work each day, a payday. Bless late hours without a sound. Always time round cafe tables, parties, picnics, dappled walks. Stopped out shopping by a lady who plucks and kissing cheeks, sweet talks. Maureen calling from the kitchen, stretchered to the ambulance. Another stroke. Her heartbeat thickened, blankets ravelled through her hands. Though she's time to halt her train, and hail us while we stand there waving, certain we'll see her home again, lifts herself to kiss the baby. Angry woman and running woman. Two George Fullard sculptures, Upper Chapel, Sheffield. I hear her cries, then see her gyre beside the awning darkened bar, and though it pours, she sparks with fire the way her buckled fingers claw. Sometimes her body finds its place loose inside this ruckled dress, but from her shut and washed out face slips this closely born confession. He chatted sweet in Fagin's pub and bought me halves of blackout stout. We danced a slow dance round the snug. Past closing time, he took me out and threw me hard against a wall, pulled and wrestled back my arms. I jerked and kneed him in the balls. For all his claims, he meant no harm. First the searchlights, then the thunder. A woman bolts across the square. High stacked heels, stole folded shoulders, raindrop earrings, slip back hair. To sketch her now, thin knees and elbows, ridge a pleated velvet gown. I have her nose as beaky shelf, a crow that clatters midnight boughs. I sculpt her hurtling from alarm, and cast that gauge the clipping gait of one who's tripped and braced by time, for running always, always late. Glance backwards, bombs begin to fall, like flowers sent to pin her hair, but she's street lengths beyond recall, her tail of perfume blown to air.
The new rig shit waltz and laudanum bunches.
Hurdy-gurdy, late note. The times I've been marooned in snugs with pint in hand, or fluked a lock-in by dint of some backwater pub, hosting fiddlers, strummers, boxmen, hail singers, hurdy-gurdy players, your oboes curlicue of notes, and gifted all my fusty words away for companionship like this, to drive a tune that bumps and slides across the flags like cords on casters. Ride the pick, the wheeze, the grind of this reel out rolling craft. My shoulder to the rhythm's weight, brace, let go, a jig or song, that trips and changes on the beat, nailed down, thrown off, rattled on, becomes our house, silenced by tunes. The hour you play your oboe late, scales concatenating rooms, blank windows, dormers, starred by notes. Each air you've scribed or learnt by ear, a shot each, polka, easy waltz, trips off its steps to find me here, relearning half-remembered holds. You're charmed beneath a lamp's full moon. Why else draw circles with the bell, and through that concentrated frown, pull long silver from a well? Your spread-legged, centred, pitched in rhymes, have much of everything by heart, and for the moment beat out time. You stop to catch my gaze and start. A Basque blues desert song. Alade on the Ribia. Now buried menfolk, hammer town, with pipes and tambours, sip cold beer, still facing Bourbon cannons down. But youths who file in hoops of noise have civil guards to hem them in. Their gazes fierce as girls and boys on hills round San Sebastian. For all the chants and hoots to drums, flags and banners, fists held high, the show is soldiers cradling guns in ski masks, Zapatista style. The kids are jostled off the march. The bands keep time, even as rain blackens rooftops, bangs, discharges, the tail end of a hurricane. One dust patrol, you found a bed, beached like drift across some street, and perched on heaps of clothes this head, already at its winding sheet. The time it took to lift your sights, this guy had caught your stink and woke, and flung arms wide to shore up night. Doug, don't shoot, from out his throat. You watched him scoot. What's one more man, fetching up on hands and knees, to wretch his weight in blood on sand, drowning outwards by degrees. You checked the mattress, shawls and burkas, cotton pants and children's shirts, thought, who'd want this pile of hurt? Shoes, those sweats with stitched on words.
Jenny Lind, Hopping Down in Kent. If I can remember it. Thank you.
poet's birthday bash. I met him shadowing the bar. This big man with the finest lashes, who touched upon his slim career. Two books, I'd read them, yacked about his gift of letting readers in. A generous opening out, his crafted lack of possession. This poem's edge of prickly scent, that close attention to her skin. Its blush and fade to transparency, outspread a tender offering. He shrugged it off and took his drink. I say this since he's 3 years dead, his scripts undone or out of print. I want him here still, writing red. I mark the lad who flunked my class because he failed to show his face. Though studied snug and tap house brass, the clubs, beer gardens, small cafes. And once because he took some stuff that let him fray apart one night. It picked the stitching from his breath, then slurred his blood and stopped his heart. I chip these quatrain blocks in part to show precisely what he's missed, though understand the end of art both magnifies, diminishes. So what I wish to tell this kid, who's left to lie all afternoon, among his drafts, his books of lit, is class begins now, wake up son. And finally, bristle and blemish. My dad once groomed a fat moustache. I've gleaned this from a single snap. He's 20 some, boyish, relaxed, styled hair, pale turtleneck, a tash. I bend to light to glimpse a man who threads his lip for, count them, weeks, because thus far in life he can, and isn't set, restrained, discreet, isn't quite the face I find, the spread, those wrinkles, flattened strands, and more what shaving leaves behind, this distillation of the man. So what if I once trimmed a line, silvered, stubble-faced, I move, to hold his head just out of time, before his bristles splashed round, sluiced. First light, today our youngest one, and since he's crooked my arm all year, I cup his head toward the sun, to sift his tufts and plicks of hair. For Rufus, auburn, curls turn fair, the brown then red tinge of his lashes, this pinch of fur around his ears, and copper brows as fine as foxes. Each iris floats in its own shine, his blue surprised by freckling gold, and blue-green graduated lines. His eyes adjust to see me whole, and we gaze back at all our sum of spots and veins, each bump and blemish, each chestnut mole I touch to number that marks the 40 years between us.